Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me, as usual, is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
Good evening, Mr. Gibson. Things are well, and you are well, too, I suppose.
I'm always doing great, man. Always as
you're
Christmas.
Doing great, and the baseball season has...
It started!
Oh! Yes! Yes, oh, we dread the start of the baseball season because it means all this work piling up we've been ignoring over the winter. And then as soon as it starts, it's like, yes, what were we afraid of?
No, it hasn't been that way for me, man. I've been blogging, you know, right away. I'm so grateful that it's Monday tomorrow and I'm going to be able to take a day off from blogging. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about opening weekend. We're going to talk about the Major League Baseball opening series. And we're going to answer a couple great listener questions, so let's get started by clearing the bases. All right, so I went out to Tokyo Dome on Saturday, and I got to talk to Lastings Millage of your Yakult Swallows.
I don't own them anymore, but yeah. They are the Swallows.
Wait, did you sell them to Magic Johnson?
No. Some things even Magic Johnson won't swallow.
That's just terrible. Well, Lasting Village is a new import with the Swallows. He's going to turn 27 this week. So he's still really young.
Yep.
And, you know, if he gets it going, he could play here for a long time. I could see it. I mean, you know, guys coming over at 21, not 21, but at 27 who played in the major leagues a little bit. And, you know, he's got some talent. He can play. So, yeah, I wish him good luck.
Right. As we talked about him before, he's had a kind of a checkered career after being a major league regular about the age of 22, which is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And, right, he's in Japan, and he has some interesting, run-of-the-mill things to say, interesting things to say, positive things to say.
I talked to a couple of the beat writers for the Swallows, and they said he gets to the park early before games. He asks a lot of questions about the opposition, and he wants to work on the minute details of the game and get better, so they're really impressed with his attitude and his work ethic so far. So, hopefully he can keep that attitude up. You know, in the interview, which we're going to listen to in a second, you know, he says some things that I wanted to check him on, but, well, let's take a listen to the interview.
What things have you found easy to adjust to, and what things have been hard to adjust to since you came over here?
I don't think anything has been relatively easy, I think. you know, it's been a challenge ever since I got here, and, you know, it's definitely a challenge that I want and that I'm ready for. But every day is a grind, you know, because you're not home and, you know, it's different things you have to do. So every day is a grind. Every day you learn something new and every day is a challenge.
What are some of the particulars that have been difficult to?
Well, you know, still the time change. You know, you still find yourself waking up early sometimes and things like that, you know, because, you know, you are what you used to. So, you know, I still find myself waking up early, but I'm able to fall asleep. Versus the first week I got here, it was tough to fall back asleep. But sometimes I catch myself waking up early, and then, you know, sometimes when you want your favorite food, you can't always get it, and you know, so you really have to, you know, really have to have an open mind and kind of take what's given to you.
What about on the field?
On the field, you know, that's been the easiest part. You know, just coming out and playing the game that I've been playing professionally for almost 10 years now. So, you know, so that's been the easiest part. Still a challenge every day, waking up early, you know, practicing 4 and 5 hour days. Not something I'm used to. So, you know, there's a challenge, but, that's been the easiest part, you know, just coming out and being professional and, doing what I do best.
Now, I know they start the spring. I always complain because it's too early. you know, February. They call it spring. I call it winter. And you started out fairly well in games and stuff and hitting, and it seemed like the last four games slowed down. But how do you assess your play so far?
Well, I think, I think I've been adjusting well. You know, I've been having good work habits and, just really preparing myself a lot better than, you know, previous years. So I think the on-field, the game activity will take care of itself. And, at the end of the day, I'm always going to hit what I'm going to hit. I'm going to hit what I'm going to hit. I hit what I hit the last nine seasons. So, I don't really get caught up into, the numbers, because I know they're going to be there. If I just keep showing up, I'm in a lineup, and I keep working hard and playing hard, they're going to be there. So, I just mainly work on my work habits and making sure I'm prepared for the game is the biggest thing.
Now, how do you assess this team? I mean, obviously you're coming over and every team is new for you, but your team in particular, you get to see them every day. How do you assess this team?
I think, it's a lot of guys who are hungry. It's a lot of guys, that put in the time, put in the effort to be a great player. I don't really look at the other teams, because they're not my main priority. This is my main priority, and I see the guys every day. So, speaking upon this team, I think that it's a lot of guys who want to be great players, want to be everyday players. And, that's all you can ask for. I like a team that's full of energy and everybody playing together and want to be great.
What about the talent level?
Talent level is good. We got a good team. We're not gonna out slug you, I don't think, but we got a lot of players on this team that can play the game the right way, and playing small ball and moving guys over, playing the traditional way of baseball rather than sitting around the eighth inning and down two and waiting for a three-run homer. That's not the kind of team we are. We're a team that plays the game right. And play as mistake-free as possible.
Okay. Now, what's your goal? I mean, you're still young. Are you looking to maybe play here a couple years and then get back to the bigs?
Well, I'm just trying to make a career wherever I am. Right here, this is the priority. Major leagues is not the priority right now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So, this is my priority. As long as I can be here, as long as I can keep putting up numbers and being a good player here, I don't think I would go back. Only way I would go back is, maybe if nobody wants me or I don't pan out the way I'm supposed to play. But right now, I'm trying to make a career here. Right now, this is what the opportunity that's been given to me. And, I want to do the most that I can do with it. And then when something else comes on down the road, then I'll deal with it then. But right now, I'm focused on making a career here.
All right. One last question. Opening night, you guys had a great start to the season. I know it's just a start, but how do you look at that first game?
Well, I look at it as it's a win, no matter how we got it done. The no-hitter would have been great last night. Of course, that was exciting. That was definitely exciting. And also, we put on a great hitting display. Team put on a great hitting display last night. We played all around. We played a great game as a team. And timely hit and everything was on point last night. So, that's always other than getting the win, which is the most important part, playing the way we played together, getting timely hits, getting guys on base, working the pitcher, things like that. Those are the things that teams need to do to be a playoff contending team and to bring a championship to their city.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Well, you can tell he has been in New York, or apparently it's apparent to me. He seems like he's really media savvy. He says some of the right things, to the questions. But you see and you hear why it's difficult for players to come over and make the adjustment. He talked about the jet lag, the homesickness, the longing for the good old food, good old American food. And we forget about this stuff when we've been in Japan for 20-plus years.
True enough. It's difficult to imagine what, where I was, 100 years ago.
Only 100? Ha ha.
Seems like it some days, I'll tell you. Anyway, yeah, it is easy to overlook those things, and we But we do know that it is a difficult transition, and we know that many people, there are a number of good players who fail because, you know, it's like a checklist. You know, there's about a dozen, you know, different for everyone, but there's a dozen or so things that they really have to either master or clear away, you know, let it not bug them.
Right.
Either just getting used to it or, you know, learning to deal with it.
Just shrug it off, shrug it off.
And they have to, you know, there's a checklist, and if they don't get, you know, if they don't get enough things off of that checklist, they're just not going to work here. And sometimes they're really easy things, and sometimes they're big things, sometimes they're very surprising things. So. Yeah.
Well, what caught your ear there?
Well, yeah, I think the thing is that basically, yes, he does know the right answers. He knows the right answer to the question. I'm here to contribute to the team. Actually, I didn't say too much about that, which is kind of usual, because normal with Pat answer is, I'm here to help the Swallows win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what he said was, I'm here to play my game and do it the right way. And the good thing, I think, was, I'm here to have a career in Japan, because this is where I am and this is where I have a chance to have a career. I like that. That is not what you normally hear.
Yeah, and to me, you know, when he said those things, I thought, well, I mean, yeah, you're focused on what you're doing now, and this is the opportunity that it has presented itself now.
Right.
But it seemed like, you know, well, if he does get that opportunity to get back home, that he would take it. And let's face it, I wouldn't blame him. There have been some guys who found some success here and then gone back over to the States. We know that Matt Merton in the offseason was thinking about making a return to the big leagues.
Well, he was, but the thing is, I was discussing with somebody from the Oakland Athletics the other day that although a number of players have left Japan, have come here and had, you know, minimal to moderate success and then gone back to the majors and had success for several years, the number of position players who have gotten guaranteed contracts based on what they did in Japan is still, I think, at zero.
Yeah.
You know, guys go over there because they want to go back to the States, and then they get a spring training invite, and they go on a minor league contract, and then they make the camp because they're good. But teams are loath to take guys based on what they did in Japan. Pitchers are a little different.
Yeah. Well, he did say that, and, you know, he talked about the team being, you know, pretty good, but he didn't single anybody out. He didn't say, well, this guy is really good. I think this guy can be, you know, I can see why he was an all-star or maybe could be an all-star, or, you know, Miyamoto is a great contact hitter. He didn't single anybody out.
Right.
But you said you like the fact that he's talking about what he wants to do to help the team or his game.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't really too focused. He didn't, like I said, the normal pattern is to say, I'm only here to help the team. It's not about me, blah, 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 blah. And you just want to shoot the guy and say, come up with an original answer. And I thought his answer was good. I'm trying to make a career here. But mind you, that's what Wilson Valdez said after his second game with the Swallows.
Way out, Willie.
And, you know, he was like kind of wanted to live here forever. He was so happy. He was so happy to get out of Korea and play in Japan. And here he's got a team that's going to let him start. And as soon as they didn't let him start, he wanted out of Japan so fast it made your eyes hurt. So I'm glad that, you know, I really hope that he is he's good to his word. I have no reason to think he isn't. And I did like Lasting's pronunciation when I first heard him talk about the players on his team, which was his priority. I thought he was saying that was his party. I said, man, party time. Well, he's got his, I'm sure he's got his party straight.
He got his party going.
and I, you know, wishing the heck the best of luck. We saw an at bat today, which I thought, damn, he ain't never. That's going to be strike three, and he was on his way to first base, and the umpire was going, okay, son, take your base. I thought, man, that's a pitch that a lot of foreign players won't get, but he just, you know, good for him, he got one.
Yeah, I mean, It won't always be that way. I mean, we talked about it. I thought it was clearly off the plate, but as you correctly stated, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't always matter. Talk to the foreign pitchers, and they'll tell you, the umpires here call the zone, and the foreign hitters will say, yeah, the zone of somebody twice as large and twice as fat.
Right.
Twice as tall and twice as fat and a plate twice as big.
Right. Well, Lansing's had a pretty good spring. I mean, he started off fairly hot and then he slowed down, I think, the last four games of the spring. But he was, you know, he had a good spring. And you know, right away in game one, in his first at bat in Japan, as a number three hitter, you know, they asked him to bunt in the first inning. And he offered that two pitches. He wasn't able to get the bunt down, but he seemed fine with the whole thing. It didn't seem to faze him. I think he's, you know, he's able to, like you said, get that checklist out and start shrugging things off. And it seemed like that was not a big deal for him, which is good because I guess there's a lot more to get used to. So
will. And I mean, it's sort of like growing up. Every time you think you got something mastered, a new problem presents itself. So glad that he feels comfortable on playing the field. I think he is fortunate to be with the Swallows.
Why do you think that?
Well, because the Swallows, there's not this underlying pressure to win. That every at bat is, you know, a bad at bat is not going to sabotage the season, which might happen if you're with the Giants.
Right, right.
The other thing is Ogawa's Junji Ogawa is a fairly low key, very straightforward manager, and he'll play you. Now I know with Josh Whitesell last year it was a case of he had a Japanese guy who was doing the job and Josh wasn't.
Right.
So it was a kind of, you know, it was not a real good situation for Josh to be behind a Japanese guy. Was hitting like crazy. So yeah, that's going to happen. And, but the point is Ogawa is he's a pretty regular guy. I mean, he's not a former superstar. He's a longtime coach. I don't sense much
garbage.
You don't get a lot of nonsense out of Ogawa. So I think that's a good place for him.
Okay. Well, Lansing's had a couple walks and a hit today. He had a hit on Saturday, so I think he'll be fine. It'll be interesting to see how he develops, and it sounds like he wants to have success, so good luck to him.
Yep.
Thanks a lot for taking the time to sit down with us.
Thank you, sir.
We appreciate it. All right, so let's talk about opening day. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
John, calm down.
We had these dueling no-nos, man. There was one at Tokyo Dome, and then the other one was a perfect game that was going at Nagoya Dome. My head nearly exploded. I was so excited.
How can we tell if your head explodes? What's different from normal?
There's not schmutz all over the walls. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. How can we tell? You're not cleaning your clothes. Anyway, it was a great opening night. I don't know if you got to see anything, but I was working. I had to get home. And
I was watching the Giants game. I was in an izakaya with my wife and a friend of ours, Shuta. It's a shout out to Shuta. And we were watching the Giants and Swallows and watching Mr. Ishikawa's near no hitter.
Man, oh man. You know, he's going. I think that was a big surprise to have him, you know, throwing a no-no at the Giants of all teams. And then conversely, Yoshimi was embarrassing the Carp, and it was very little surprise because
right.
We talked about their issues at the plate. Although they did some good work today to get even with the Dragons and pull out a tie. But I couldn't believe it. I was racing home. I was watching on my iPhone. Watching Ishikawa throw, you know, pitch after pitch and get guys out. And the guy who broke up the no-hitter, Hayato Sakamoto, broke up another no-hitter about 2 years ago. You remember it went?
2 years ago? That wouldn't have been Muranaka's.
No? I don't know. It's the other one that I can think of.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's in the ninth inning. I have to qualify it by saying that. Sakamoto, this is the second time I remember him breaking up a no-no in the ninth inning.
Huh.
It was not against the Swallows.
Okay.
Remember?
I do not.
It was a September game against the Dragons in Nagoya Dome, and he hit a home run off of Daisuke Yamai in the ninth inning.
Whoa.
A solo shot to break up a no-no.
I thought the only one who broke up his no-hitters was, oh, sorry.
Hey, I have no problem with it.
Me neither.
Fine move by the manager, and more power to him, they won. So.
Okay, so he did that. There was another guy who broke, you know, there's all the stories. I think one guy broke up one pitcher's no-hitter twice. I think Takayuki Suzuki broke up two of Fumiya Nishiguchi's no-hitters.
I think.
Interleague.
Yeah.
You remember the one. You were at, weren't you at, you weren't at that one. Because I was watching on TV, me and another guy on the desk that night watching it.
Mm-hmm. No, I was not there, but.
Well, that was the year that Nishiguchi had the perfect game until two outs in the ninth inning against the Giants at Cebu Dome, and he also had a perfect game through, I'm going to say it was 10 innings, that he lost, that ended up in a tie with the Rock 10 Golden Eagles, and it was Nishiguchi and
Nishiguchi the infamous Cebu Lions.
Yasuhiro Ichiba.
Oh,
we're dueling. The only time Ichiba ever dueled anybody except the bad publicity, you know. So
yeah. Well, after Sakamoto's hit in the ninth inning, because you know Ishikawa carried this no-no into right. The ninth inning, had one out. Then John Bowker hits a smash that devoured Hiroyasu Tanaka at second base.
Yeah, there was nothing left of them.
Yeah, they were just remnants. You know, there was a CSI team out there looking for them. But then,
fortunately, they put them back together today or the next day. So.
Right. So I was talking to Vladimir Ballantyne on Saturday at the Dome, and he wanted to call that ball an error. Now you saw that shot, right?
Yeah, it could have been. Could have been.
No way.
I'll tell you. You know what it could have been.
It could have been another situation with an infielder with a broken bone in his face.
Right, but I'm telling you, had Miyamoto made the catch on the second ball, that would have been a no. They would have called that an error.
Well, yeah. Now,
absolutely, because that's a no hitter.
Exactly. We talked about that when Mr. Gail Hopkins was on, and we said, "Hey, now we know that situations and game situations and circumstances." Dictate what kind of plays are going to be, or what kind of calls are going to be made. So we know
sure.
that. Yeah,
sure.
Definitely. And that would have been,
I think, in the majors, if that was the first chance to be a hit, if there was a no hitter when he hit that ball, that's an error all the way.
No, I don't think so. Not in the majors.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is because, well, I saw it.
If it happened in the ninth inning, that's an error.
So.
No, if it happened in the first inning, it's a hit. If it happens in the ninth inning, it's an error.
Not in the major. I think it depends on the score.
I've seen it too many times.
Well, here's the deal: is that thing had top spin on it, and it was hit a ton. And I said, "All right, Valentine, you think it was an error? You stand there and you catch it."
Well, that's not nice. He's in trouble with balls in right field, man.
Well, yeah, we saw that today, and he said, "Well, yeah, you got a point."
All kinds of trouble today for Coco.
Well, Tony Barnett, and again, you know, you talk to pitchers and hitters, you get completely different stories. But Barnett, who's working in the closer role right now for the Swallows, said it was definitely a hit, and I'm with him. I think that thing had some nasty, wicked topspin on it, and Tanaka had no chance. He was glad he was walking away with his face. I mean, that thing was nasty. So, yeah, you know, that was a great. I think each scorer would score that play differently. And I don't think you can say in the ninth, just because it's the ninth inning, even in the major leagues, that's a hit or an error.
I'd give you odds on that one pretty much. I think if there's one out, if that's in the ninth inning and it's a no hitter. And that's the chance to be the first hit.
And it's an error.
I think 8 out of 10 scores are going to give you an error.
Really? All right. Well, I'm scoring it a hit every time, so just have that. I don't care
good
what.
For you.
First
good
inning, ninth inning. That dude's lucky to walk away with his face, and that's the pitcher's fault.
Usually at that point in the game, they're looking for an error. When the ball's hit, they're looking for an error.
Yeah, well,
if they can find it, they'll find it.
So
I was half surprised that they didn't give an error to Miyamoto for touching the ball.
Yeah, well, that's another one. And, you know, he felt badly about it, and people were asking him about it. But and I think he said after the game, well, I'm glad that next ball got hit the way it did because I didn't want that to be the only hit.
Right.
So even well, he was saying that it was a hit.
Yeah,
basically.
Well, but he would have needed a great play to get Anta, but that's okay. Anyway, moving along, it was, yes, we had the near no-hitters.
And then we had the royal jelly treatment working like a charm in Southport.
Explain this to me. This whole thing is a mystery to me. Royal jelly?
I think, you know, I haven't researched it. All I know is what I've heard, and it's that if you create an environment, you tell someone that they're good, you give them the confidence, because a lot of times confidence is half the battle, that it works for them. And apparently, by naming Yuki Saito the opening day starter, it gave him the confidence. At least it let them know, he let him know that the team is behind him.
Okay.
And I guess he went out there and just felt comfortable because he pitched one of the games of his career. He pitches a complete game. It's only his second ever complete game. And he wins opening night. He beats Wakui, who wasn't really sharp that night. But but he beats Wakui and he beats the Lions, the team that I picked, I think you picked.
Yep.
And I know Jason Koskri of the Japan Times picked to win the Pacific League. And he beats him. And and we've always said his stuff is average.
Yep.
He throws a lot of pitches and he's willing to throw all of the pitches. That's the other thing. He doesn't try to rely on one particular pitch. He'll throw them all.
Right.
And I think he kept guys off balance. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the game. I just saw bits and pieces. But the Royal Jelly is, you know, you take a guy who's average and you coddle him and you put him in the right circumstances and you give him the confidence and the rest, you know, he takes over. It exudes confidence and
okay. What do you think about that plan?
Before he threw, I thought it was going to destroy him because obviously I didn't have very much hope that he would get through the fifth inning.
Okay.
What I think about the plan, I think, you know, if some guys have some tools, if they have the basic tools and all they're lacking are the intangibles, I think you can mold a guy. I think it's possible.
Obviously, players can develop. Players can learn. I think the thing with Saito is that he's a smart kid, and I think what he lost sight of is being in college, he got just, you know, he was the high school phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was the first year MVP of the Tokyo Six University League, and then he was the MVP of the when he led Waseda to the national college championships,
mm-hmm.
university championships. And then after that, it's kind of been downhill. And last year was perhaps a wake up call. I don't know, but okay, yeah, he's got some stuff. I think. Shun Kakasu, who was at that time a scout with the San Francisco Giants, and now he's an assistant to the general manager with the DeNA BayStars,
mm-hmm.
told me at the time that, and a couple other scouts more or less echoed what he said, that the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's really good, the pitcher he could be is right-handed Hisanori Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
A guy with some really, who when he's good, has some devastating pitches.
Right.
But he's just not good often enough. And it would be really inconsistent. You know, he's basically a third or fourth starter. Anyway, so that was his plan. Can he play? Can he be a really good pitcher? He doesn't have the velocity. He's got to learn to deal with that. He's got to learn to work to contact. And my feeling is, can this strategy work? Yeah, I guess. But did it work? And the answer is no, not yet.
Yeah, it worked in this one game, yeah.
Yeah, if that was the plan, well, geez, then give him let's make him the pennant winners then, because it worked for one game. I think, well, we'll see.
No means am I going that far, but yeah.
Right, it certainly
gave him confidence for a night, and he pitched well, and he's going to have to keep doing it, and obviously, you know, they feel like he's a guy they can invest this time in. I mean, they had some other guys they could have put out there, and they didn't, obviously, So.
Well, the other thing, you know, you see that I've seen this tried in the majors, and when I was a kid, the San Francisco Giants had a fairly useless shortstop. They had a whole slew of useless shortstops, but one of them was a guy named Johnny LeMaster, who was a real, I was a fan of his, actually, but he wasn't a good hitter, and he wasn't a really good fielder. He was pretty good at Candlestick, but he had trouble when the field wasn't as pitted as a gravel dry parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, joining LeMaster 1 year, the manager decided to, I think it was Frank Robinson said, well, we're going to bat him leadoff. You know, that'll give him more fastballs to hit. And he was, he picked his average up. You know, he went from being basically a 240 hitter to a 270 hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped him. But the thing is, it doesn't really help the team. Because, you put him in a position where it's going to help him see certain kinds of pitches. But you want to do that with a guy who's going to be able to make more of it than go from 240 a 240 hitter with no power and no walks to a 270 hitter with no power and no walks.
Yeah, he's just getting on base another extra time a month or something. So
yeah, so he scored a lot more runs because he was at the top of the lineup, but it really wasn't a big improvement. And it made him a better player, but he really wasn't big shakes to begin with. And as much as I really liked him, I feel like I'm betraying my childhood dreams. And I really liked him as a player, and I wish the fans went big on him. It was a kind of thing like one step forward, two steps back strategy. Now, they obviously, Saito is a popular player, and they have to be thinking, well, we got to get him. We can't have him be a 500 pitcher who's allowing a half a run per game more than the rest of the team, which is what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, if that's the investment, maybe that's a good idea. I think it could work, sure.
Well, something that just hit me when you were speaking, and you might have hit it on the head, they need another face of the franchise. You know, they lost their face of the franchise. They don't have anybody else out there. As much as I like, as big a man crush as I have on Yoshio Itoi, he's not the guy. Well, so maybe they need a big draw, and that's what they're trying to do. But that could be part of the Royal Jelly treatment, too, as well.
Well, could be, because he's certainly out from under Darvish. Darvish walked away, and they're going like, damn, there's a team over here that wasn't you, Darvish.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at all these guys over here that were hiding from the sunlight. Okay.
Well, there's some other guys who came out of the woodwork, and one of them was Kenshin Kawakami with the Chunichi Dragons, and he did well. I shouldn't say he did well. He wobbled and stumbled through six innings, but he kept the Carp off the scoreboard, if not off the bases. And, he won a game for them. I guess it was his first win with the Dragons in 4 years or something.
Yep.
And that was good for the Dragons. The Yokohama Bay Stars blew a couple of leads,
sure.
Which is what they do. They like to blow leads.
Leads.
Yes, I said leads. I said they like to blow leads.
Good.
It's a podcast. That's right. It's more editing for me if I make a mistake. So, they blew it another lead on Saturday, but they finally got a lead that they couldn't blow today, and they won. So congratulations to Mr.
It's too big to blow, huh?
Congratulations to Mr. Kiyoshi Nakahata and all of the Bay Stars fans out there for getting that first win with the cool new uniforms and cool logo and cool.
Yeah, well, we all want to see the Bay Stars do better, so good for that. And really nice effort so far from Norihiro Nakamura, who is kind of a sweet guy who's been bouncing around a lot recently. He's with his, how many teams has he been with? Kintetsu Oryx, Los Angeles Dodgers. Yeah. Chunichi Dragons, Rock 10 Golden Eagles, and the Bay Stars. That's six. That's a lot.
Yeah. And hopefully this is his last team. But you know what? And I'm trying to look it up now as we speak. I think he hit well in that stadium.
Well, that was his home park for so long with the
exactly.
Buffaloes.
Yeah, and that because he was just raking over there. And I'm like, he looks really comfortable here. And I think he just had flashbacks. We have to see him in a different stadium. See what happens.
Wow, flashbacks. He was doing something other than Royal Jelly when he was in L.A. Okay.
Here's some Royal other stuff. Stop it.
I can't. I just don't picture him being on acid. It's too scary. Okay.
It could start basically for the Hanshin Tigers, but again, they're playing the Bay Stars, so I wouldn't get so too too excited about it, but, you know. Now, that brings up another topic, though. That game, that first game that that ended in a 5-5 tie on opening day was stopped because of the 3.5-hour rule, which remains in effect from last year to save or conserve energy or deprive TEPCO of profits, whichever way you want to think of it.
No, I don't think we're too worried about depriving TEPCO. I think we're looking at trying to get some money out of them.
Yeah, well,
since it was played
for free.
Yeah, sure enough. John will give you some. You know where to write.
I have lots of energy.
Got to catch them.
I'm very energetic.
okay.
The Eagles, the poor, gutty little Eagles that got swept at home by the Marines of all teams.
Yeah.
They look worse than I thought.
They did.
The Buffaloes, you know, that's a hard match. That's a tough matchup. I think the Hawks had a lot to prove, you know, Fukuoka. They want to show everybody that they're not, you know, the poor little sisters of the poor because they lost some pitchers. And I think they had a lot to prove in that first series. Plus, they were at home, so I think they went out gung-ho. And
well, they got two things weren't a surprise, which was that Setsu started and was good last year. And then Iwasaki came in. And Iwasaki was very good in times and ordinary in others, but they're both the young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And last autumn when we had Dave DeFreitas on, and he talked about the Hawks' ability to develop pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
I pointed out that all the pitchers that they had developed have been college guys. Well, Iwasaki is the one who wasn't. He's a guy who came out of high school. Of course, you know, he didn't do anything straight off the bat. You know, you think of the Hawks high school guys, and you think of Terahara,
right?
Who faced them on a Wait, he faced them today.
Today, yes.
Today, it was like old home week in Fukuoka, Terahara, and Arakaki.
Yeah. That's another amazing thing. This whole weekend was great, but that's a good story for him, Nagisa Arakaki. He hasn't been able to pitch because of various injuries. He's really only had,
I'm going to say, one good season.
Well,
about one and a half, maybe, if you're generous. And his career has just been one problem after another. And, he threw a complete game today.
He almost got a shutout. He came within one out of getting the shutout. Goes nine innings, wins his first game. I think it was October 6th, 2008 was the last time he had won a game.
You think?
Yeah, well, I know.
Okay.
I just blogged about it an hour ago. I remember the date, so.
Wow.
It's quite amazing for him. I'm glad for him. I want to watch the highlights tonight. In fact, they're starting in a few minutes. I gotta tape that. But we'll see. The Eagles. Yeah, I don't really have much hope for them. And if the Marines are gonna sweep them at home, it could be a really long year in Sendai. I hope they get something going up there. So maybe they'll pull in some foreign players from somewhere and someone will help them out because they didn't look very good. But it's just opening weekend. We can't judge a book by a weekend.
Nope. So, although it's a lot of fun to do that.
I'm not willing to jump off of my predictions just yet.
give John another three games. Well, wait. Just wait till we get to June.
Give John another three innings.
That's right. Mr. Patience.
Both of the teams that I picked to win dropped two out of three this weekend. So... But I'll have you know.
And same here. So that's we're each one for two in both
leagues.
Well,
you copied me, so I picked him, and then you just never mind.
Exactly. I'm still looking for an original thought.
I still remember the quote. We all long to be you, John. I don't remember which episode it was, but I remember you saying that. So let's talk about
speaking of acid. Okay.
Let's talk about the Major League openers that we had here. Now, it was great to see some Major League Baseball. I hadn't seen, you know, games in a while, so that was fun. But, of course, you know, can we do a little bit better than the Mariners and the A's next time, Major League Baseball? Can you help us out? Maybe, like, how about the Dodgers and the Giants?
Whoa.
Or the Yankees and the Dodgers? Or even the Mariners and some other team, you know, like the Red Sox. I mean, bring some talent over here.
Well, of course, what the Japanese fans want to see is a talent swearing number 51.
Right.
And, you know, that's the way it's been in the history of this series. There has been one team that people want. Well, I have to say with the Mets and the Cubs, neither team that anybody was all that excited about. It was a new thing in 2000.
Right,
but 2004, we've got the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Mm-hmm.
2008, we've got the Red Sox and the A's. In 2012, we've got the A's and the Mariners. And the last three series, we're in a situation where they play, well, the format is pretty straightforward. The Tigers play noon day exhibition games for 2 days. The Giants play evening exhibitions. Then the Major League season starts. Now, the games in which the favorite Major League team is playing, which would be the Yankees with Hideki Matsui, the Red Sox with Daisuke Matsuzaka, and the Mariners with, you know, the trio of Japanese guys, they're sellouts, so they're close to sellouts.
Mm-hmm.
The other teams play before rookie league crowds. You know, Tigers and the A's, you know, well, okay, there's a few people in the stands.
Well, now, Hanshin fans, I mean, they travel well, so, I mean, they're always
they
going to fill up
well,
a lot of
they,
stadiums. So
well, they still, well, they still, no, I'll tell you, the Tigers and the A's, a colleague, Wayne Grassick, said it reminded them of the old Fighters games at Tokyo Dome. I said no, because there, if the Fighters were here, there'd be more people in the outfield. It was pretty sparse. Yeah, there was, it was about 8,000 there.
All right. Well, the game, which game did I go to? I can't remember the game I went to,
Mariners-Tigers.
Mariners-Tigers games. There were a lot of Hanshin fans there. They filled it up pretty good, but that's because of the Mariners too, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was really good, and it was interesting, you know, basically talked a lot to Dawg Melvin and to Eric Wedge about the and other players about what their impressions were of the playing a Japanese team as opposed to playing Japanese individuals. And they talked a lot about the intensity of the pregame, and the organization of the pregame. And Bob Melvin said, "Hey, I got a lot of ideas for spring camp, and I think that the thing he wants to do is get two batting cages."
Yeah.
Because, well, he said that, look, you know, in our camp, we've got three diamonds, and I can only see one guy hit at a time. I said, if we've got two batting cages and one park, I can see half the guys hit.
Exactly.
And I don't have to walk, you know, everything's here. And he thought the organization was good, and they talked about the preparation. I think Bob Melvin talked about the Japanese hitters coming with a plan, and I think, gosh, well, that doesn't sound right. They have a plan, you know. They're pre-programmed, and just don't hope to change the pitch selection. And because if you do, then they ain't got no plan. Their plan is to be pre-programmed.
Pre-programmed. You're
they
just,
are.
Come on.
No, you know it as well as me. That,
well,
they,
yeah, because they're datafied, so they go.
Well, they
there.
Are.
Yeah.
Because there's only 11 possible teams, and six of those only play four games against interleague. So, they basically try to predict what every pitch that's going to come, and program that into the players, and then hope that they can remember and react. And as soon as they get into interleague and they got players, they're not used to this. There's data overload, and they can't get meaningful data and meaningful plans. Most of these guys turn to royal jelly.
And we're not so royal jelly.
Anyway, it's ugly. And so I was interested by that. But, yeah, we did. I think the good thing about the A's and the Mariners was all the people who came out and we got to talk to. I mean, it was so much fun to talk to the batting coaches and the players. Got to talk to Yoenis Céspedes.
Mm-hmm. A Cuban defector who's playing for the A's, yeah.
That's right, and a couple of questions. I asked him about the difference between Japanese baseball and Major League Baseball and Cuban baseball, and he said essentially the difference. Oh, yes, we have an earthquake.
Well, that's an earthquake. Oh, scared the daylight out of me. All right, let's keep going.
A little rock and rolling. Wow. Anyway, Céspedes said essentially the difference between Cuban baseball and Major League Baseball is the quality of the fields they play on.
Wow.
He said the Cuban fields aren't good. and you just can't have the best fielding when the fields are in poor condition. So that's the major league players are used to the highest quality, and they can go all out, and they're not going to worry about breaking their leg, hitting a rock or anything.
Okay. All right. Well, I was glad that the Mariners brought the Japanese players over and that we could see them. And looks like Kawasaki's doing well, and he might even stay on the roster for the regular, to start the regular season. And I think the pitchers are going to catch, they're going to find out how to get him out. But maybe he'll make some more adjustments, and maybe he'll have some success over there. But the thing that caught my eye the whole weekend was the gray hair sprouting out from Ichiro. Did you see that?
No, he was always running.
He always had a cap on, but when I was looking at the monitor at the game that I was at,
okay,
and he took off his helmet and put on his cap to go back out on the field, I saw a lot of gray up there. It's really interesting because you don't see any of that in the commercials that he.
I think that's just a sign of his. I think the amount of gray hair is a sign of his maturity.
Oh, okay.
He's growing as an individual.
All right.
I think that's what the gray hair shows.
All right. Well,
quality, not quantity.
Quality, not quantity. I did want to mention that the Tigers won the two games that they won.
Sure.
Playing well, but I think that's kind of like, fool's gold. Don't be fooled, Tigers fans. I think because they had a DH, and that's a lineup you're not going to see too much of until maybe if everybody's still healthy at that time, you might see it when they play the Pacific League and Interleague. Other than that, I think it was fool's gold, but we'll see. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, so I'm just going to play the question. This one, the first one's from Michael Westbay.
Hi, guys. Michael Westbay here. There's an issue that's been brought up both in the podcast and in the media lately regarding the unified ball that's been bugging me. I put in my support to continue using the unified ball on the claim that it is conforming to standard international specifications. When that was claimed, I thought that meant that the ball was closer to the Major League ball in order to prepare Team Japan for the World Baseball Classic, which, of course, is sponsored by Major League Baseball. However, I keep reading about foreign players, and now the visiting MLB teams, claiming that the ball doesn't feel like a Major League ball. It seems are a bit bigger, and the ball is softer, are just a couple of comments that I've read more than once now. So, is the ball, or isn't it, more along the lines of an MLB ball? And if not, why not? And yes, I do expect that one of you will be able to ask Kato Commissioner before the next podcast. Kanbatte kudasai.
Good question, Michael, but kind of bad timing. We were so busy this week with the Major League Baseball stuff and MPB opening up.
John, I thought you saw Commissioner Kato walking through the stands. You saw some guy looked like he was underemployed and a little befuddled. And
I saw a confused, wandering man, and he looked like he could have been a blood relative of Commissioner Kato. I don't think it was him, though.
Okay.
This guy was really confused, so.
he might have been able to give us a better answer, then.
That's possible. That's possible. The only thing I can remember about the balls is, yes, that they were switching to a ball that was going to be on par with balls that were used in international play.
Right.
I don't know if it was Major League.
Well, they were correct, because the first Asian... The first use of the balls was in the Korea-Japan series a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was used in international play.
Well, I did hear, in fact, Craig Bazell picked up the ball and said something that I can't repeat on the podcast, but said, this is a baseball, essentially, is what he said. He picked up a Major League ball. But I didn't get a chance to talk to some of the other guys about the ball. So if you would have sent the question a little bit earlier so that we could have gotten out there and talked to some of the guys, we would probably have been able to answer. But
so a lack of a good answer is your fault, Michael.
No. What I will say is that we will do our due diligence to get an answer for you for the next show. How's that? A better answer.
Okay, you heard it from Dude Diligence.
And that will be Jim, who's going to be right on that, right, buddy? All right. Let's go to our next question.
Hi, Jim and John. Mike in Saitama again, the number one Lions fan. Go Lions. Just a quick question for you guys. I don't know if you guys have covered this already. You may have, so then please ignore it. But if not, I'd like to know which of the Japanese foreigners or the foreigners from the Japanese league this year do you think will have the biggest impact on Major League Baseball? I say that given the relative success of some of the guys like the Tin Man in Baltimore this spring, and, of course, Darvish, and then you have Kawasaki with Seattle looking pretty good. On the other hand, you have Aoki, who's struggling, and Wada, who's injured. So which of those guys do you think will have the biggest impact on Major League Baseball this year? Thanks a lot. Love the show. See ya.
All right. Thanks again, Michael. Michael. You go by Mike. Michael Westgate goes by Michael. So, Mike, thanks for your question.
Yep.
Let's see. Who's going to make the most impact?
It's either going to be me or you.
Yeah, I'll have some impact, some negative impact. I think since you, Mike sent this email about Tuesday or so, Aoki picked up a little bit in the hitting department, so his batting average went up a little bit. Yeah. Chen, the Tin Man, I love that use of the Tin Man. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. He's right there with an ERA of 3 and 4 outings. He's got a couple of walks and a bunch of strikeouts, so I think he's doing okay. Wada's had some, you know, quote unquote elbow arm issues, but I think he'll bounce back. He works hard. They just need to manage it and take care of him. Iwakuma, not looking so good. I don't know.
Iwakuma's, all of a sudden they're going to ask him to be, they're throwing him in middle relief, and yep. This is not something he's ever done. He's been a starter. Well, I can't say that ever. I think he was a middle reliever when he, his rookie year when he was 18 years old.
Yeah, long, long ago. So, yeah, not a good role for him. We'll have to see. But it looks like everybody's favorite, Yu Darvish, is the guy who will have the most impact. But I'm just taking a wild guess here.
Yeah, it could be. I think he's already had the most impact. He'll have the most impact this entire season based on what he's done in spring training.
Yeah, I watched his outing the other day against the Rockies, and he missed location to Jason Giambi, who bashed it. But that was after his left fielder, I was watching and doing some other thing. I don't remember who was playing left, but they butchered a ball that should have been caught. So it should have been a solo home run, not a two-run home run. And then he gave up another hit to Giambi. But in between, he threw all his pitches. He fanned 11. He had guys locked up, crossed up, messed up. I mean, he's going to make a great impact. Go ahead, Jim.
No, I think, Darvish is obviously the guy. He's got the tools. The question about Darvish is not whether he's going to succeed, but whether he can fail. You know, most of these other guys, it's a question of what do they need to do to succeed, and it's sort of like, you know, one of the great things about the going to the A's and Mariners was getting to talk to all these people, and one of the people I talked to was Shigetoshi Hasegawa, and he said something great about one of the big differences in Japan and the majors is in the majors. You have to be proactive and do everything, you know, not do everything yourself, but find out all the information, take care of yourself, be on the cutting edge of your physical conditioning, because the team ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
They'll help you if you need help. You ask them specific questions, but they're not going to say this is the way to train. They're just not going to do it. In Japan, they do a mediocre job of that. In fact, they do a really lousy job of it, but they do it. They say, do this, do that, and it's mostly meaningless stuff. But in America, you don't get the help. But Darvish, now, what does this have to do with Yu Darvish? Yu Darvish is probably the most tuned-in athlete coming out of Japanese professional baseball going over to the majors. Now, I would include Masao Kida as one of those guys who was like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kida had other issues involved, but Kida's a fitness and conditioning fanatic. But anyway, but he had other issues. But Darvish has got all the tools, plus he's got the fitness thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's a continuous experiment into pushing his physical and nutritional envelope. So that's an edge that a lot of the Japanese guys haven't had.
Yeah, we know he works hard. The one thing is, you know, I will try to watch as many games as I can just to see how the defense behind him impacts his numbers, because, like I said, left fielder butchered a ball and came in on it, took a bad route, and then wasn't able to make the play. The ball went over his head for a double, and then Giambi hits the home run. And that, instead of one run, it was two. So I think you have
to
watch.
That's a new experience for him, playing with a team that can't play defense.
Well, I wouldn't say can't. I just think they're just limited.
They're not the fighters.
Compared to what he's used to. So I think you need to watch the games and look for those things. Don't just look at the pure numbers, I think, and then you'll really get an idea of what the impact is for him. Guys are going to hit the ball if he throws it over the plate. It's not that he can't, you know, he throws it any faster or any with more right. movement than other people. He mixes his pitches really well. He throws them all, so he keeps guys off balance. It's amazing. So, yeah, I think that's an easy question to answer. But please send in questions. We will answer them. We'll address them. Send in some comments. Use an MP3 file. I'm really glad that Michael and Mike sent their questions by MP3 this time.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. You all get to hear yourself on the public airwaves, so to speak.
And most of all, you don't have to listen to either one of us try to read it and butcher it.
We don't butcher names.
No, I didn't butcher the names. I butchered a question once before. But
oh, okay, that's different. Nobody in their right mind butchers people's names. That would be a calamity.
Well, you can get your MP3 files and send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. And I would like to say that we had a few people sign up or befriend us on Facebook recently, just before the season started. So thank you guys very much. You can check us out on iTunes, and we'll be here weekly from here on out.
Okay. Enjoy the season.
Enjoy your baseball. Thanks for listening.